go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 47. If you're using a pew Bible, it is page 412. At least I assume all the pew Bibles are the same. I only checked one of them, not all of them. So page 412 in what I checked as a pew Bible. Psalm 47, looking at the truth that God is king over all the earth. You know, it's one of the great forgotten doctrines of modern Christianity. If you were to ask people, is God loving? You would get almost across the board, yes, of course God is loving. Everybody knows that. If you were to ask, is God king over all the earth? Who knows what answer you would get? Is he supreme authority? Does he have rights on everything? Is he the supreme authority over the state, over governments, over the governor, over your household, over your life, over the church? Is God the supreme authority over everything so that everyone on earth is accountable before him? Who knows what answers we would get? But this is a pillar doctrine in Scripture, and it must be a pillar doctrine in our hearts, that God is king. That means supreme ruler. That means he's in charge. We are accountable to him under his authority. God is king over all the earth. And the application that comes out in this psalm is, therefore, he must be praised. He must be praised. Which praise means to express admiration. Not just to admire, but to express admiration for God. It means to worship. It means to glory in God. He is king over all the earth, and he must be praised. Let's read Psalm 47, and then I'll pray for our time in the Word. Verse 1, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared. He's a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. Talking about the nation of Israel. Verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Hallelujah, brother. Amen and amen. And yes and amen. God is king over all the earth. Sing praises to the King of all nations. Let's pray together. Father, as I read that passage again, you see the trembling in my heart. How dare I would speak of such a topic, but by your revealed word. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but your word will stand forever. Father, I pray that you would have your word to be preached in a fruitful way. We confess we are completely dependent upon the work of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to hear with faith. Father, we're desperate and we don't know the half of just how desperate we are. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Show us our need for him. And show us him, your provision for sinners lost. He is our only hope. Father, we pray that you would teach us, humble us, transform us, correct us where we need it, encourage us, fill our hearts with a sense of worship and praise for you, and fill our minds with an understanding and a grasp and appreciation that you, living Lord, are King of all the earth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The structure of the message is pretty simple. I'm just going to follow the structure of the psalm. Firstly, God should be praised. Secondly, God is praised. God should be praised by all. God already is praised by his people saved by grace. God should be praised. God is praised. And God will be praised. The great work of God in history is to create worshipers of Himself, and He does that through the good news of Jesus Christ. And as the good news of Christ hits the hearts of people, it will transform those hearts to create worshipers. God should be praised, God is praised, and God will be praised. Praise the Lord. First, God should be praised. Expanding on that, He should be praised by all peoples in all places. He should be praised. This comes from verses 1 and 2, and it also comes from verses 7 and 8. Verse 1 and 2, clap your hands, all peoples. And I understand some translations have people as singular there. In the Hebrew, it is plural. It is clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. Why would we do that? Verse 2, for the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He's king over all the earth, so all the earth should sing praises to God the King. Isn't it how the Bible begins? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all from Him. It all belongs to Him. It is all for Him. It's to be filled with worship and filled with praise for the great Creator King, God Almighty. You know, some of us, well, all of us to one degree or another, have bought the lie that we each individually have supreme authority over our lives. Isn't this the great lie of the world around us and the great lie of the pride within us? Let's be honest. And that's what we must repent from and humble ourselves and bow down before God and say, you are God, not me. He should be praised. Verses 7 and 8. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Again, the same structure. He's the King, and based on His kingship, worship Him. Sing praises to Him. If you stand at the top of the Grand Canyon, you'll sing praises of the wonder of the Grand Canyon. If you're standing on a beautiful beach, on a beautiful morning, at a beautiful sunrise, you will sing praises of what you're seeing. If you see an adorable, cute, snuggly little baby, you'll sing praises of that baby. We've all done it. You sing the praises of that which is praiseworthy. What is more praiseworthy than the infinite being that created the universe? God is King over all the earth, and He should be praised. Verse 8, didn't I say verses 7 and 8? And I just read verse 7 and then chased that rabbit. Verse 8, you see the same idea. God reigns over the nations, actively presiding, actively ruling, actively exercising His authority. He reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. It's a throne of holiness. It's also a throne of grace that we can come to Him through faith in Christ and be accepted in His sight, even though we're unholy. We can come to the throne of holiness because it's also a throne of grace for sinners. But He reigns over the nations, sitting on His holy throne. His holy throne is in heaven. God reigns from heaven. He reigns over the heavens, and He reigns over the earth. God should be praised by all. Let me give you an A and a B and a C underneath God should be praised by all peoples and all nations. Letter A, He should be praised in a joyful assembly. Look again. That's verse 1. Clap your hands, all peoples. Clapping is in view. And then He says, shout to God with loud songs of joy. Brothers and sisters, that is singing with all of our hearts to the God who made us. He deserves applause. He deserves loud, joyful singing. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. This is a picture of a joyful assembly. And in eternity will be the supreme, untainted, joyful assembly of God and His Christ, His Savior, and His people with the holy angels worshiping Him, worshiping the King in perfect holiness forever. What we have each Sunday, each Lord's Day, we devote a small piece, just a small piece. I was going to say small chunk, but it's not big enough to be considered a chunk. Just a small slither, a small piece of our week to come and gather together for this, for a joyful assembly in the Lord. And you may not clap, but in your heart, I'm sure you clap often. And you may not shout, but hopefully you're singing with all of your energy, with all of your heart, songs of joy to God. This is just a preview. This is just a preview. God has given us the gift of the Sunday assembly as a foreshadow of what's promised in eternity, gathered around His throne as one united, perfected church, singing the praises of God the King and Jesus His Savior for all eternity. Public worship, it's often called. Sometimes it's called corporate worship. It's a joyful assembly. It's congregational worship. That's letter A, joyful assembly. Hey friends, you did the right thing this morning. Getting up and getting ready and driving to participate in a joyful assembly to the Creator of the universe. You did the right thing this morning. He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves that we gather in His name. He must be worshipped, for He is God. Letter B, not only should there be a joyful assembly picturing a public outward worship, but there should also be an inward worship. He should be feared in the hearts of men. Look at this in verse 2. It's giving the reason for that joyful assembly. For the Lord, the Most High is to be feared. That means a couple things. First of all, it means giving Him the respect in proportion to who He is. That means giving God the honor in proportion to His character. Giving Him the respect, the reverence, the honor in proportion to who He is. If you walk into the courtroom, who gets the respect? The judge gets the respect. That's His courtroom. The other layer of fearing the Lord is fear of judgment. If you spend 5 years stealing cars, no, forget that. Just steal a car. You steal one car. And now you find yourself in the courtroom, and the evidence is clear. It would be right for you to have a healthy fear of the judgment, of the penalty that you deserve that's going to come from the judge based on His authority. It's right that you would have a healthy fear of the judgment you deserve. Unless your conscience has been totally singed and you just really don't care at all about right and wrong or consequences. But you see this all throughout human life and society. There's right, there's wrong, there's consequences. Parents, and for your children in your home, there's right, there's wrong, and there's consequences. That's good, not bad. On the roads, there's laws for how we drive. There's right, there's wrong, and there's consequences. Everywhere. The library. You cannot just go into the library and act a fool, acting however you want. There's right, there's wrong, there's consequences, there's people in authority to keep everyone within the boundaries of how things are supposed to happen. Every facet of human existence in society is like this. Right, wrong, and consequences. It's just a reflection of the greater reality. God is King over all the earth. He is holy. There's right and there's wrong and there's consequences. And in our hearts, we must have a healthy fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Reverencing Him, respecting Him, humbling ourselves before Him in proportion to who He is. And an understanding of the judgment that we deserve because of our sin. Now, if we don't get there, we won't understand the cross of Jesus Christ, because it's on the cross where Jesus took the penalty for our sin. But if we don't think there should be any penalty for our sin, what does the cross mean to us? He died for our sins. He took the penalty, the judgment of God for our sins. He bore that on His body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. In His body on the tree. He bore our sins. God should be praised in a joyful assembly outwardly. He should be praised inwardly. There should be a fear in the hearts of men. Let us see. I've already alluded to this. He should be worshipped globally. So outwardly, inwardly, globally. He should be worshipped by all men everywhere. This is what should happen. This would be right. People should worship God. Of course, none of us would. None of us would want to unless God intervenes in our lives, unless God brings His truth into our minds, God brings His truth into our hearts, and the Holy Spirit of the risen Christ changes our hearts to love Him and not ourselves. It's the only way it could happen. But it should happen because He's King over all the earth. Again, the second part of verse 2, He's a great King over all the earth. All the earth. I mean, you could just say the earth, right? All the earth. He's a great King over all the earth. A friend of mine says, when he preaches on this, God has rights on everything. He has rights on everything. Everything is accountable to Him. He owns everything. I'll quickly give you some cross-references on this idea of God as King. It's the central idea of the Psalms and the whole Scripture, but it really comes out explicitly in the Psalms. Psalm 95:3. You don't have to turn to these. I'll just rip them off for you. 95:3, for the Lord is a great God. He's a great King above all gods. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns. He reigns. He rules as King. He presides as King. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. And one more, Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. God should be praised by all people everywhere because God presides and rules as King over all peoples everywhere. God is King, and He should be praised. Secondly, God is praised. Don't get this picture like there's no one on earth praising God. God is being praised. God is praised. There are people on earth who praise God. And the only reason there's people on earth who praise God is because there's sinners on earth who've been saved by grace. It's not something that's earned. It's not something that's paid for. It's not something that's worked for. It's not something that's deserved. It's a gracious gift from God that He brings us into fellowship with Jesus Christ and makes us worshipers of Himself. It's a privilege to worship God. Oh, don't begrudge this. It's not like a early Saturday morning list of chores that you don't want to do, but you have to do it, or you want to do it because if you do your chores, you'll get to do this extra activity. Oh, it's a joyous privilege to worship the Lord. What better thing, what more appropriate thing could there be from a human being to worship the creator of that human being? It should be the normal, natural course of things. Of course, it's not because of our sin and selfishness. But once we're saved, we have this gear in us. We want to worship God. We want to praise God inwardly, outwardly. God, we worship You joyfully. It's not a chip that we carry around. It's not this begrudging thing that we don't really want to do, but we know we should. Oh, perish the thought. It's a joyous privilege to worship God. How sinful are we? We get more excited at a good cheeseburger than God. We get more excited for a new movie than God. Little children, little toys, molded pieces of plastic. We get more excited for those than God, the infinite being who made us. This is why we say apart from God's intervention, we would never worship Him. So praise Him, and then praise Him extra because we want to praise Him. Because that's the work of the Spirit. He is praised by His people. This comes from verses 3 through 6. Verses 3 through 6. Now the context, the historical context of this is the nation of Israel. We're in the Old Testament. And that is the kingdom of God on earth at that time was manifest in an earthly nation, God's chosen nation, Israel. So you have to see it through that lens, but the same underlying truths and principles will apply to us just in a different way. Verse 3, He subdued peoples under us. The us is Israel. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us. Heritage means inheritance. It's talking about the land. It's talking about what God gave to Israel as their kingdom inheritance. He subdued peoples under us, nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout. That's a picture of God leading them in battle against their enemies. Now, what was this piece of furniture in ancient Israel that symbolized God's presence in God's throne? It was Indiana Jones. Ark of the Covenant. Isn't it amazing? You know, if you just talk the theology of it, people are like, now, what is it? But if you say Indiana Jones, Ark of the Covenant. And they would carry it. They would lead the armies. It's a picture of God leading them into battle. God was present with them. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King, our King. See, they, true believers in Israel, had recognized and submitted to God's kingship. Sing praises to God, our King. God should be praised by all peoples everywhere. Thank God, praise the Lord, that he already is praised by some people in some places. Christians, saved by grace. We're not a better people. We're not better than anyone. We've been saved by grace. We're not some elite kind of super spiritual or wise. We have this peculiar wisdom that other people don't have. We're sinners, saved by grace. We're weak recipients of God's power. We didn't change our hearts. Beloved, we didn't change our hearts. God changed our hearts. He intervened in our lives. He saved us. He brought us his truth. His spirit woke us up from the nonsense that we were living for out in the world. He is praised. He gives victory over the enemy. We saw that in verse 3. He subdued peoples under their feet. He gives victory over the enemy. We have victory in Christ by faith. Not victory over other nations, like was talked about here. But we have victory over sin through faith in Christ. We have victory over temptations, victory over the devil's accusations against us by faith in Jesus Christ. Victory in Christ. He gives victory over the enemy, so his people praise him. He not only gives victory, but he graciously chose us as his own. Look at verse 4. He chose our inheritage for us. He chose our heritage for us. God's gracious choosing of Israel. It's grace toward us, so we praise him. And since we're saved by grace, do me a favor. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. Since we are saved of grace, saved by grace, rather, we are empty of something and we are full of something. We are empty of something and we are full of something. When we are saved by grace, we are emptied of boasting, and we're full of gratitude. I mean, at the base level, saved by grace, give me the bird's eye view, summarize it, put it in a nutshell. What should that look like in my life? It should look like I am empty of boasting and bragging, but I'm full of gratitude. 1 Corinthians 1 Verse 30 and 31. Because of him, God, you can see that that refers to God if you glance up at verse 29. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. So because of who are you in Christ Jesus? Because of God. Right? The answer to that can never be because of me. Right? It can never be because of me. I was smarter. I was better. I figured it out. No, it's because of God. It's because of God. We're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So we're empty of boasting in ourselves or anything that we figured out, anything that we did or could do. We're empty of self-boasting, but we're full of gratitude. Boasting in the Lord. The Lord did this. If I had an hour to lecture on this, which I don't, but if I had an hour, we would spend a quarter of that hour talking about this word, wisdom. Wisdom from God. Christ Jesus became for us wisdom from God. And then the next quarter, you would talk about this, righteousness. Christ Jesus also became for us righteousness. And then the third quarter of that hour I would talk about, any guesses? Sanctification. Christ Jesus has become for us sanctification. And then the last 15 minutes would talk about this word, redemption. Christ Jesus became for us redemption. It's in Christ that we find wisdom. It's in Christ we find righteousness or obedience and sanctification and redemption, which points forward to the redemption of our bodies, living in glory. God should be praised by all peoples everywhere. Thank God that he already is praised because of his grace through Christ. His people praise him because he gives us victory. We praise him because he graciously chose us as his own. So we're empty of boasting and full of gratitude. And let me just encourage you, no one's perfect in either of those things. But don't stop fighting. Don't stop striving. Don't stop praying for God to empty you of boasting and fill you with gratitude. Brothers and sisters, let's grow in these things. Pray for these things. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Go to Christ and cry out to him for help. He will help you in your time of need. None of us are perfected in those things. None of us are perfected in any aspect of Christian living. But we can strive by faith, amen? We can walk by faith, and we can strive by faith, and we can pray desperately for God to help us. He gives us victory. He graciously chose us, and he goes before us in battle. So we praise him. He goes before us in battle. Verses 5 and 6. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. I've already told you what that means. God leading his people in battle. This is the way we should picture every day and every moment of our existence. God is leading me. God is leading us. God goes before me. You wake up in the morning and you know that day there's going to be difficulties that you're going to face. Amen? So you must purpose in your heart before you roll out of bed, let God lead me today. And you know when you roll out of bed in the morning, there's going to be temptations that you're going to have to fight against and overcome. So you've got the purpose in your heart. We've got the purpose in our hearts. God, lead me through temptation. You know it's coming. We know it's coming in general sense when we wake up in the morning. So each morning we wake up and we can do little devotions right in our hearts and in our minds while we're still in bed. God, lead me today. I have no hope apart from you. I have no power apart from you. And God, we have no direction apart from you. He ever leads us in battle. The battle against temptation, the battle against selfishness. If I were to ask you to make a list, you could probably make a list of 100 within 15 minutes. A battle against laziness, a battle against worldliness, a battle against materialism, a battle just for the energy to pray, a battle just to take the time to read God's word, a battle to get out of bed and come to church services, a battle of discouragement, all kinds of spiritual battles. Friend, either get in the battle or stay in the battle. Do not lose heart. God goes before you. Let him be your leader, your guide, your warrior at the head of the army. Yes, it's true. God should be praised by all people everywhere. And God is praised by his people saved by grace. Thirdly, God will be praised. He will be praised in all the earth. I hope you know that the Bible teaches this and promises this. God will be praised in all the earth. Verse 9 is kind of a prophetic statement about this. The princes of the peoples gather. That's leaders of different nations, leaders of peoples, princes of peoples. Gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. Shields representing armies, representing forces, representing the powers and influences. The shields of the earth belong to God. He's highly exalted. You see this throughout the Old Testament, especially also the New Testament, but really just so blatantly obvious in the Old Testament that God is sovereign over the nations. He puts kings in place. He removes kings. He'll stir the heart of a king up to do something according to his will. God is the one who puts kingdoms in place and then tears down kingdoms. He's the one in charge of the world over the nations. He is king. The shields of the earth belong to God. The princes of the people gather, but they gather not just as princes of peoples, of worldly nations, but they gather as the people of the God of Abraham. It's looking forward to a day in which we live in, where Gentiles, which basically just means non-Israelites, where Gentiles come into the kingdom of God and are joined and made one with the true people of God. Now, let me prove this to you with one Bible verse, and then I'll point out just two different aspects of it. Now, the whole Bible is about this, so you have to give me a little bit of leeway. You have to give me a little bit of leeway for just giving a few verses here. But the whole Bible is about this, how God is redeeming for himself a people from all the world. Jesus is Savior of the world. The whole Bible is leading up to the fruition and the fulfillment of this plan, God creating a people for himself through Christ, but he's doing it from all nations and from all tribes and from all tongues to glorify himself. Revelation 5, verse 9, if I had to cherry pick one verse just to prove to you that this is going to happen, that they're going to be true worshipers of God through faith in Christ from all over the earth, from all over the earth. Revelation 5, 9, picking it up in the middle of a heavenly scene where Christ is being worshipped by angels, and they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you," the you is Jesus, "worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals," which is symbolic for just fulfilling God's plan in history, "to open its seals because you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God." Help me with this here. Make sure I'm getting this grammatically correct. "From every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. Where did the redeemed people come from? Where did the redeemed people come from on earth? All over the earth. "From every tribe, language, people, and nation, and you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Kingdom of God, redeemed sinners from all over the earth. God should be praised. God already is praised, and he will be praised increasingly so as the gospel goes forth in power to save sinners by the grace of God. You know, at church, we're concerned about spiritual matters. We want souls to be saved. We're not ashamed of this. We want people to be forgiven of their sins, to come into a relationship with God, and that when they die, go into the presence of God and live with him forever in the fullness of joy. That's what we want. We're about spiritual business. Friends, we're about souls finding forgiveness in Christ. We're about eternity. We're about God. And we're about truth. God will be praised in all the earth. Turn also with me, if you still have the energy, to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Now from Revelation 5, 9, I realize I'm cherry picking, but I think it's a real good proof text to cherry pick, that there will be redeemed people from everywhere. I don't think there's any other way. No, I know there's no other way you can interpret that. Matthew 28, 18. How does that happen? How is that going to come about where there's worshipers from everywhere? How? How is he going to do this? That just seems incredible. You know, it's a real simple answer. Hopefully I've already said it. I think I've already said it. Through the gospel ministry of his church. It's through gospel ministry. Through the gospel, through the good news of Christ crucified and risen, the hope of sinners. And anyone who believes in him will be saved. Anyone who comes to him in faith will become a worshiper of God. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior will be saved and will be with God forever. Their sins will be blotted out. How is it going to happen that there's redeemed people from everywhere through the gospel ministry of the church? This is how the gospel of Matthew ends. Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven." If you have some writing utensil, somehow highlight or mark "all authority." All authority. Christ now reigns in heaven with supreme authority. "All authority in heaven and on earth." has been given to me. Go therefore. Make disciples of all nations based on all authority has been given to him. All authority on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the one who saved us from our sins. So we're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Go. Make disciples of all nations. So how will they do that? Preaching the gospel. That's not deep theology here. It's sharing the good news of Christ. Telling people what Jesus did to save sinners. And how people can receive Jesus as Savior through faith. Turning to Jesus in faith. And then teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Because obedience is what we strive for as people who've been saved. And he says, this word of encouragement, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, if we only had the message, but not the living presence of Christ with us, we'd have no power to help anyone. You know, Christ must be present through his Holy Spirit to make any of our ministries effective. Even in your daily Bible reading and praying, Christ is there with you to deliver the truths and the comforts of Scripture into your heart. God should be praised by all peoples everywhere because he is a great king over all the earth. God is praised by his people, saved by grace. He's given us victory in Christ. He graciously chose us as his own, and he ever leads us in the daily battles we face. And brothers and sisters and friends, God will be praised in all the earth. The gospel goes forth. Even today, it's going forth in power. God is not asleep. He is saving sinners. He is advancing his kingdom through his church, through the gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is graciously saving sinners. Let's pray. Father, we worship you and we give you thanks and we sing your praises. I pray for myself and for each one of us that you'll give us evermore in our hearts a desire to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and to trust you that you'll provide everything that we need. Father, help us to shed off the distractions and obstacles in our lives. We may focus living for you and serving you and being a part of your gospel ministry on earth. It's not our ministry, it's your ministry. Father, we worship you. We sing to you now in Jesus' name. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And as